Disclaimer: The Prisoner of Choice is a work of fiction. Any resemblance with any person, incident, or organization is merely coincidental. This audiobook may contain material unsuitable for those weak at heart. Audience discretion is advised. Chapter 7: The Scourge. The journey continued. Asafa had promised me a guide on my journey across the Sahara Desert into the Ethiopian capital of Addis Ababa. I had been traveling in the caravan provided by one of Asafa's friends, who was a wealthy diamond merchant. It had been 20 days since I had left Cairo. We slowly moved southwards from Egypt into Sudan and crossed into Ethiopia. It had been a fortnight since I had exorcised a common village laborer of the wild spirits, and I had borne the pain of that ordeal for quite some time. Yet in that pain there was a certain sense of deep-rooted satisfaction that justified each and every stroke of misfortune that I bore for the sake of others. I knew not who the man was. I knew not him as he sat there languishing in the middle of the road. I had never met him in my life, and most probably would never meet him again. And yet there was a sense of familiarity about him, about the energy that had infested him, that drew me towards itself. Later, as I learned from my master, the spirits that had infested the poor man had some unfulfilled motives that they sought fruition in me. I learned that those spirits were in a previous incarnations my compatriots in a common crime. They were my brothers. They were damned to that ethereal existence, and the only way they could obtain salvation was through me. Thus I bore them for a fortnight, 15 long days. And I bore the agony that they experienced every single moment in the timeless and deathless spirit world for those 15 days. When they were inadvertently released from my own body, they had fulfilled the karma that they had left unsettled in that previous incarnations, and thus had moved on. I, on the other hand, had only just begun my quest of redemption. As I reflected upon the struggle that I had to undergo to liberate myself from the ties that bound me to my past, I truly realized the foolishness of my mindless actions. Actions that in the end yielded me nothing but pain and grief. These were the acts done without any sense of morality. They were acts that were solely centered towards self-gratification, solely centered towards the ceaseless fulfillment of desires. Thus, even now, when I had chosen to walk a path that was drastically opposite from my past, the demons of my past still continued to haunt me. I realized that I could never really be free from those demons unless I made a genuine effort to be selfless and benevolent. The demons on their part were associated with the human being that was simply an object of weakness and desire. Yet within me, I now felt an alternative consciousness stirring to life, a divine entity that was slowly breaking free from the weaknesses that inherently made it human. This part was truly beyond any demonic influence, for it was pure and noble in its very nature. This was the part that was associated with the divine nature of God, the God particle in the human being. As I reflected upon the same, I realized what I had to do. I knew that I had to unceasingly enrich that divine part so that one day it may represent the whole. I had to imbibe that part in each and every shred of my existence, in each and every iota of my consciousness. It was the only way that I could break free from myself, the only way that I could finally be liberated, the only way that I could be free. The caravan steadily moved on. As I introspected and meditated on my own thoughts, I started to cognize a greater motive behind each of the circumstances that I had faced in my life. It was as if God was doing His part in ensuring that I could complete the journey upon which I had embarked. The devil, on his own accord, was trying his best. He was trying his best to reclaim the man that now seemed beyond all hope of damnation. The man was beyond all hope of damnation, for the man was transforming, for he was changing. He was no longer a sinner. He was no longer a demon. The man was transforming into one of God's angels. The sinner was becoming a saint. That night before we finally rolled into the Ethiopian capital of Addis Ababa, I had a strange vision. I saw a man. The man was standing all alone on a small hillock as all around him people were looking up at him with eyes that begged of salvation and deliverance. As I looked around, I could see people that were dying of their qualms, suffering endlessly in this wretched world, looking to none other than God to grant them deliverance from their wretched existence. I looked at them, and then I looked at the man who was standing there all alone on that small hillock, engulfed by the mass of despairing humanity. And in that very moment, I realized my mission. I realized my destiny, and I realized my purpose. As I watched the scene, besotted by the message that it related to me, my eyes darted to the man in the midst as he looked up at the skies and calmly walked on through the grieving horde with a limp that did euphemize the pain of his bleeding heart. The salvager had arrived. The scourge had begun. This was it.